Get ready to rock radio, music you want to hear.
Now, just one thing before we move on to your career specifically. The tracks here on disc 7, I'm quite intrigued really. They're called City Hall in Session, and they're evidently studio tracks mixed, I think, with sound check recordings. But sadly, Jerry, there isn't much information in this box set about the precise recording details. Can you throw any light on that?
Well, there was a major problem with the Irish Tour 74 thing, because we had the I think it was the Ronnie Lane Mobile. There was I think it was six shows, two shows in Belfast, two shows in Dublin, two shows in Cork, and for some reason the Mobile couldn't get to the first bunch of shows. They were held up at the border or something. There was something went drastically wrong. So a lot of those mixes, the original mixes from the early shows came from, they were just desk tapes, really. But the City Hall sessions, that was with the Mobile. No, and it was in the City Hall in Cork. And basically, we recorded the sound checks. And I think a lot of that stuff would have come from the sound check.
And that was across the various gigs you played in Ireland then?
That would have been just the City Hall, of course.
Oh, right, at the City Hall. I'm with you. Well, it's very intriguing for fans, and I'm sure, you know, Rory Gallagher fans know all about this, really, but, you know, just a shame there wasn't a bit more information. In the box. So thanks for enlightening us on that. Yeah. Now, the inevitable question, what was it like working with Rory Gallagher in the studio? Were most tracks put down quickly, or did he rework guitar parts? I mean, I understand he was quite a perfectionist.
He was a perfectionist, but also at the same time, when we recorded a song, we'd rehearse it as much as possible until he actually got bored with it, and then we would do it live, because Rory would always insist on doing his songs live. I mean, he was a big fan of, you know, Elvis Presley and Sun Studios. He was a big fan of Muddy Waters. And what they did, they played live. So as far as Rory was concerned, it was good enough for them, it was good enough for him. So basically, as far as reworking guitar tracks, no, what went down live is what went down live, guitar solos included. And maybe afterwards there would be a rhythm guitar or something simple put on. But basically the guts of the song was live.
So he was fairly economical, really, and did that apply throughout his career?
Yes, it wasn't.
Yeah, because you tend to think in the early 70s, you know, that the techniques were a little bit more primitive, weren't they? And
they were. Yeah. And over the years, I mean, people were different bands were developing different ways of recording. I mean, the story of John Bonham recording in a toilet somewhere or in a hall somewhere to get the ambient sound, and then everything else was overdubbed on top of that. I don't think that would have been Rory's. Not to say it didn't work. It worked fantastically for Led Zeppelin because it sounds outrageous. But it wouldn't have been Rory's way of doing things. He liked the meat and potatoes of the band playing together live, you know. And sometimes the sound would suffer because of that, you know, because of overspill. But I think that's what Rory was all about, you know.
Yes, yeah, very much so. Very much a live performer, really. And I was looking actually yesterday, just getting some facts together for our chat, and looking at the number of dates you played in the 1970s, particularly. I mean, it was intense, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
I mean, amazing, really, Jerry. I mean, I don't think, you know, because the industry's changed and listening habits have changed and what have you, you know, whether any band would do so many dates in such a short space of time, really.
Well, probably not, but also what we have to remember sometimes is in the early 70s, it wasn't as if you would make one album every 3 or 4 years. You'd make 3 albums in 1 year.
Ah, well, that's another thing, yeah.
And obviously, I mean, to promote those particular albums, you had to go out and tour, so you'd be touring one album for 3 months, and then the next album would come out, and you tour that, and then the next album would come out. So it was like a non-stop grind, really, you know. But that's the way the business worked in those days. You know, nowadays, I mean, an artist, i.e. Bruce Springsteen or something, will bring out an album every couple of years, Springsteen is actually more, he seems to bring out a lot more stuff than most bands, you know.
That's true.
I mean, that's the way it worked in those days. So you had a tour of the album.
Yes, yeah, it was just the routine. And I notice also, certainly in the early 70s, you were you made a couple of albums per year. I mean, you you're a good example of that, the in terms of Rory Gallagher. And in terms of the albums, I mean, your contribution, we know, you know, the bass, and we can come on to talk about that, but was he very much his own person? I mean, did he welcome your input?
Well, the input was such that if we rehearsed, if Rory came in with a song, no matter what it may be, Rory wouldn't, he wouldn't say, these are the chords, it goes like this, but Rory would start playing the song. It was like a folk attitude. He'd start playing the song, and then bit by bit, we'd join in. So we were adding our own, you know, our own inventions as well, I mean, if, so to speak. So there might be, you know, it's at some stage where we say, oh, Jerry, maybe you follow me on that line on the bass, and maybe you'd say to the drummer, you know, maybe less hi-hat here. But basically it was, you were adding your own thing anyway, you know, and that, yet again, that was to create that live thing as well, you know.
Very spontaneous then.
Yeah, very spontaneous.
Yeah. Now, we should mention here that each year there's a... I think I'm right in saying, Jerry, that there's a Rory Gallagher Day of celebration in his hometown of Ballyshannon in Ireland. And, of course, next year, 2015, it was going to be a special... a sad anniversary, really. But can you tell us a bit more about that?
The Rory Gallagher International Festival, it's been going now since, I think, 2001, 2002, I can't remember. I mean, I've done it a couple of times with a band of friends, and with Nine Below Zero, actually. But it's just, it's a great festival. It's a great little festival that people come from all over Europe, and from the States, from Japan, you know, from Australia. And it's a small town, and for that particular 3 or 4 days, it just swells to whatever, 17, 18,000 people, you know, which is quite amazing, a small town in Donegal.
Now, did you ever feel that playing in Rory's band for the best part of 20 years, I mean, maybe that you were in a bit of a straitjacket? I mean, were there times that you thought personally that it might have been a bit healthier to follow a different musical direction?
Yeah, I mean, within the limits of that, I mean, in the early, obviously in the early years, in the 70s, you know, you never thought about it because you were working so much to start with, you didn't have time to think about it. But I mean, as the years went on, I mean, into the sort of late 70s, into the 80s, I mean, the workload did sort of, you know, diminish a little bit, and it gave me time to do my own thing anyway. I made a couple of solo albums, and, you know, that sort of kept me happy, you know, because I've always written my own stuff anyway, so, and Rory didn't mind, you know, so there was that sort of a little bit of freedom there as well. But eventually, after 20 years, I mean, I did realize that, well, maybe it's good for me to make a break, and maybe it's good for Rory as well. So, yeah, the time did come eventually, yeah.
Yeah, and I assume you must have enjoyed a really good relationship with him, a good personal relationship.
Oh, I did, very much. Very much so, yeah. We were very close friends.
Yeah, I mean, just describe him. You know, I only see him really through the lens of, you know, maybe some documentary footage or what have you, but he comes across as a shy, sort of introverted person, really.
He was. He was very much his own man, and he was shy and introverted, you know, but obviously that changed when he went on stage. He became a complete extrovert. But he was just a lovely human being. He was just a perfect gentleman, and, you know, that's down to his upbringing, and that's down to whatever, you know, but he was just a lovely, lovely human being.
So off stage, Jerry, he was nice to get on with, easygoing.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. And I think we should mention to listeners that part of this package is the DVD, which it has been out before, the Tony Palmer documentary, and I think that really does capture the spirit of that time. There's backstage footage, and there's one sequence, I think, Jerry, where Rory's just going walking around the streets, and he goes into a music shop
in Cork,
is it? Yes, very natural, and just great. I know they were difficult times, but it's rather nostalgic, isn't it, seeing all that?
It is, yeah, it is. I mean, obviously you can see, I mean the backstage rider has changed considerably since those days. I think it was a crate of Guinness and some sandwiches, and that was it.